And 3, 2, 1, whatever we do. Good morning, everybody. It's Mike Stott with Your Coaching Matters doing the Monday Mindset. I think Donna will be joining us in just a minute. Actually, oh my goodness, we have a special guest today. It's my 17-year-old son, Matt Stott, with my wife, Donna Stott. And Matt, we're so proud of him. He's just been the greatest. He's just graduated from high school. He turns 18 in July, and he's studying for his real estate exam. So he will be taking his test just a few days after turning 18. Now he's going to college on a Hope Scholarship at Georgia State. He's going to study business. And he's also today turned in his final paperwork for his Eagle Scout Award, too. So he's pretty awesome, and I could just go on and on about him for hours, but I won't because he's turning bright red, and I am too. So today's discussion, we're going to talk about old leads. And I wanted to remind everybody that there's a gold mine in your database. And now I'm speaking words that makes my wife happy, is play with your database, everybody. Your database is your lifeblood, your gold mine. And I want to reiterate, repeat, beat into you that Donna and I do not delete people from our database. Let me repeat that. We do not delete people from our database. We keep them in forever, even when they've said they never want to work with us. Why? Because no today does not mean no forever. Okay, you got to stay in touch. Deneen Kotz, a week or 10 days ago, she's one of our For Sale by Owner course people. She sent an email where she had a win, and I wish I had saved it, but I get 400 emails a day, so I don't save them all. But her story went something like in October or November, she talked to a For Sale by Owner. She felt she had established rapport with them. He listed with another agent, and she got permission to stay in touch with him. She stayed in touch with him, stayed in touch with him. It expired, and she listed it, a $995,000 property that I'm pretty sure went under contract. And then I had a case on Saturday morning. I woke up to an email, and I was referred. I'm sort of in with a small gaming company in Alpharetta. Now, it was small because I sold one of their managers. He was the 35th employee for this company. There are now 485 employees in China, London, and here in Alpharetta, Georgia. And one of their buddies was moving in, and he's a director of video, great guy by the name of Dustin. And I believe it was October of 2017 or February of 2017. And he and his fiance decided that because her job situation was up there. Well, I've stayed in touch with him 22 times since that. 22 emails, voicemail messages, text messages. They did not respond once for 2.5 years. But I figured, hey, this is a gaming company. I have 3 other clients that have bought. I want everybody to be happy. It's worth the 2 minutes every 2 months to send him an email or a text. Well, he emailed me Saturday morning saying he and his wife, the rental they're in, the owner's putting it on the market, they want to find a house to buy. How many of you stay in touch with your old leads as well as you should? Anybody? Carmen, I can't see you. Patty, I see you shaking your head. Terry, I see you saying, I know Terry does probably the best job of any of us on this call. Shannon, you're a little pale. Because I have to share with everybody is the staying in touch was not a habit for me. In fact, when Donna and I got married, I had been licensed for 12 years. I had never made a past client phone call or inquiry. Never, not once. Okay. So the guy who wrote The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, I don't know how to pronounce it, said, it's the time you have wasted for your rose that makes your rose so important. And I want everybody to remember, as we move on, here's a mindset. We work so hard to get a lead In fact, some of you, Nicole, spend thousands of dollars every month to have leads generated for you, and then we don't stay in touch with them, or we don't stay in touch long enough with them. So why don't we stay in touch? Many times it's embarrassment. I mean, when I had not talked to somebody, and at the point, it really took me 17 years in the business before I started calling people. Sorry, my chair just popped. and I was embarrassed to call them. Another reason might be it wasn't a smooth transaction. I have a story. It's supposed to be another parenthesis. I had a Navy SEAL. I was probably 27, 28, 10 years in the business. And there was a problem at the closing, and a Navy SEAL needed to come up with like $1,100 more in cash to close because his VA entitlement was done. And he told me, if I ever see you again, I'll kill you. Now, anybody else had a closing where they threatened to kill you? I hope not. And this was a Navy SEAL. He could. Okay. And to the point where I lived in a nice townhouse and I used to run a lot. And from that closing until Christmas, I changed the route I ran because I didn't want him driving to his townhouse and seeing me and running me over. Okay. So there it was, Christmas time. And we delivered poinsettias and cards to everybody. And I had like six poinsettias left for my past clients, and one was his captain. And I went, and I went to drop off his poinsettia plant. Now, this was the days of the big clunky cell phones. I took a friend who's about my size with me, Leonard. And I said, Leonard, if I'm not out in 2 or 3 minutes, call the police. Well, I knock on the door. Captain Smith, who is it? Mike Stott. He goes, Mike Stott, you bleeping bleeper. Get in here. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I go in, and he comes up, and he shakes my hand. He says, I owe you an apology. I was really a jerk. And buying this place was the best thing I'd ever done. And in fact, when he sold it like 3 years later, he made $80,000 or $90,000, which was the equivalent to 2 years of income for him. So, you know, don't let a difficult closing keep you from staying in touch. I bet everybody on this store, on this call, could tell a story about a transaction that went sour, but the clients still respected you enough to use you several years later. I mean, we've got stories about dead fish. We've got everything. Don't, you know, it's been 7 years. Okay. You guys went to the closing. They hugged you. You hugged them. You gave them their gift. They say, let's stay in touch. We're going to invite you over. They never invite you over. You never stayed in touch. Just acknowledge it. Hey, I was just calling. It's been 7 years, and studies show that after 7 years, people are thinking about refinancing, trading up, trading down, buying, you know, all that sort of stuff. Some people, I've talked to some clients that just so enjoy chasing the new leads, the new FSBOs and the new expireds. They want to take just the low-hanging fruit all the time, and the follow-up is a reason why they don't stay in touch. We're too busy closing deals. And I think Donna and I and Donna Fleetwood and Coach Stephanie, if we could have every one of our clients do one thing, it would be to schedule the hour to 2 hours every day to do the lead follow-up and the lead generation that keeps your business going. I think, you know, the biggest challenge we have is people doing this ordinary thing consistently. Donna, would you agree? You're on mute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, going after these old leads, it could be the difference in you meeting your goals and not meeting your goals this year.
Absolutely.
This is really, really important.
And sometimes we feel like we don't know what to say. And, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. Who else has another reason, if you'd be brave enough to share or courageous enough to share, why you don't stay in touch with your old leads?
We make assumptions about it.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Terry says you make assumptions about what that means to them and to you. That's brilliant. Thank you for that. Anybody else before we go on to the next slide? Perfect. So you know, no today doesn't mean no forever. And I oftentimes, when I research this, or Donna and I, or Stephanie and Donna Fleetwood and Donna and I do things, we look outside of our industry, because the real estate industry can be very dogmatic or very structured, or we have what we call the structures of knowing or conclusions about real estate. And I found an article that had 15 reasons why you need to stay in touch with people. And I just wanted to say 12, 13, and 14, I thought were pretty important. And he says, I know it's frustrating when your lead doesn't qualify for your product, but don't burn it too soon. Remember these four things. The lead's life could change drastically in the future. Anybody ever have a client call them up after owning for a year or 9 months and they're getting a divorce? Pretty drastic changes. The lead may have other insurance needs you can help with. You know, I know each of us on this call are coming from a spirit of contribution, and we're going to see a slide towards the end of it, other ways that we can help rather than having them buy a house or sell a house. The lead may have friends or family you can help, or the lead was expensive. Hold on to their information and reach out to them periodically. You might be the only agent who does. I can tell you with the FSBO course is oftentimes the reason why I get the listing is I'm staying in touch with them 6, 7, 8, 12 times when 99% of the agents gave up after one. Another thing is that we accept their false objections. Okay, how many of you are getting leads? Donna, and she got us into the Z buyers lead thing, which she has canceled, because the most common thing I got was, how'd you get my information? I didn't fill out any online forms. I didn't want anybody to call me. Anybody besides
I just want to say they made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
I'm not mad at her. I gleefully, we're going to get at least one listing out of it, but it's a listing in an area that I don't want other listings for.
We spent a total of $180. That's all.
Yeah. So it wasn't a money thing for us. For me, it's
and no referral fee.
I don't want to drive an hour for $165,000 listing. I mean, Terry Poncha says in San Diego, you can't even buy two tires on a mobile home for $165,000. But we all have, you know, Donna talks about minimum standards, and that's the minimum standards. Okay, I already bought something else. Sorry, or I'm working with another agent. I can tell you I'm working with another agent is the biggest bluff that gets real estate agents off the phone. I met with a FSBO last week, and another agent called him while I was there, and he said this. He's a neighbor helping the niece of the person who died sell the house. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm just the neighbor. The niece has already picked an agent to work with. And then I started talking to him, and I said, well, you probably don't want to see this. He says, oh, I just tell that to everybody. It gets real estate agents off the phone. They know their scripts better than we do. I changed my mind. I don't want to buy or sell. They're not always lies, but sometimes there are, because they just want you to get off the phone. Show respect, but don't quit too easily. And the third point is burning your bridges. This is true in every sales interaction. If you can't make the sale, make sure you preserve the opportunity to do so in the future. You never know when someone may change their mind or refer you to someone else. I've mentioned above that you have to stand out. One way of doing so is by being the most helpful and gracious agent who didn't make the sale. I promise you, our competitors won't do the same. So, you know, if you ever have just a coaching tip, if you ever are looking for a script or an idea or a conversation advancer that's different, maybe look for the life insurance sales or the car insurance sales industry and see what you can adapt from them. Okay, here's this. Don't overcomplicate it. So many of us overthink it, and we go down that rabbit hole of, oh my God, they were mean at closing, and the previous owner let the koi fish die, true story, and they were mad at me, and they threatened to kill me, or they weren't happy, or they were crying at closing. I've made several sales recently to people that were in tears at closing because they lost their house to short sale. But it's been enough time now that they've recovered. And so just try a simple conversation. Hey, can I please speak with Mr. Smith? Hey, really quick, you know, you bought a house from my company or you bought a house from me 7 years ago and we had a breakdown in our system and I apologize. I haven't stayed in touch with you how I should have. I just wanted to check in and see if you're still, you know, if you might be looking to trade up, trade down, you know, get rid of your mortgage insurance, whatever it is. How many do you think if you made a sincere offer to help and a quick apology and you didn't dwell on it, do you think you would be received graciously by your past clients or the old leads?
Yep.
Okay. But yeah. Every one of us has used the embarrassment. It wasn't a smooth transaction. It's been a long time. We're too busy. Every one of us overcomplicate it rather than just simply picking up the phone. Those of you that work expireds, you'll oftentimes, you know, start doing all the research on the expired when it would just be quicker to pick up the phone and call them or text them. I'm having better luck texting expireds than calling them right now. But doing all the research and overcomplicating it is just stopping you from doing it. And when I started to prepare this call over the weekend, I thought I was doing something completely different. And it was going to end up, you guys will get a bonus thought, is that if you made three additional calls a day, three additional contacts, 240 days a year, that's 720 additional contacts over the course of the year. And if one out of every seven of them said, yes, I am thinking about buying or selling, that would generate you 100 leads. And if you had 100 leads and half of them were serious, that's 50 leads you could work with. And if you could garner 25% of those actually do something this year, that's an additional 12 transactions. And if you had an additional 12 transactions and you took half of that money and you saved it, most of us would be able to buy an investment property that cash flowed every year. And if you did that for 10 or 15 years and you had cash flow of $10,000 or $15,000 in 15 or 20 years, how many of you think that would be worth doing the three additional calls?
I do.
But why don't we do it? Because 15 years is a long way down the line. Let me tell you, at almost 57, I can look back to my 42-year-old self. Yes, Shannon, I'm talking to you. And say, 15 years goes by really quickly. Okay? Jenna, I know you're a new client. Everybody welcome Jenna. She's a new coaching client. Hi, Jenna.
Welcome.
And Donna says she's very young and vibrant. I haven't had a chance to meet her yet. And let me tell you, Jenna, 15 years goes by like that. Start buying investment properties by calling your old leads. Now, it gets supposed to be your additional three per day, which will turn into 10 transactions. Here was an idea I got from another article I read, hire a virtual assistant. I came across this awesome case study about a real estate agent who had 5,000 ice cold leads in a 2-year-old database. Serena Dua, who by the way, I found on Facebook trying to friend because I'd love to talk to that person more, hired an inside sales agent to go through the leads one by one. By the way, my coaching client and friend Mark Spain has hired 7 people to go through his past clients. He calls them client concierges. Within 16 days, they had a $12,000 commission. Within 2 years, their volume went up from $30 million to nearly $70 million. The agency attributes almost all of this growth to hiring somebody to go through, reconnect, and revive those old dead relationships. Patty Schwarzkopf, I know you're running a great office there in Santa Barbara. The agents who have left, the old sales, what an idea. And if you want
to that right.
Yeah, particular companies, get with your coach and you know we'll have some ideas about virtual assistants that might be able to help you. How not to reconnect, okay? Don't be too casual. Don't just send a cold email. You know, don't pick up the phone and go in guns blazing. You said you would call me after the closing 17 years ago, and you never called. Well, that's not going to get you great, you know, great response. So don't be too casual. Be energetic. Be enthusiastic. We have a tool called the Coaching Arena that you might want to set before you do this, where I am willing to be appreciative, attentive, clear, grateful, and empowering. Boom. And then you make the call. Second is don't take the past for granted. Just because they may have talked to you before doesn't mean you can treat your re-outreach less professionally. An entire conversation is ruined with, I told you that 6 months ago. In fact, re-hitting or re-explaining the points may cause them to remember why they liked your product. Okay? So be professional, don't take the past for granted, and don't wait too long to get to the point. Boy, I mentioned earlier, I get over 350 emails a day. Okay, how many of you, and I probably get on my cell phone, Donna's been with me, she can attest to it. I am getting 8 to 9 calls a day. Stop what you're doing. You need to listen to this message. And I always say, well, I was listening to this message, so I'm going to stop what I was doing. And I hang up. But we're getting so many messages. Don't wait too long to get to the point. You have 8 to 20 seconds to make an impression if you're calling. You don't need to make like all their lives and their LinkedIn posts or all their Facebook posts for another month before finally contacting them. Get their attention, tell them why you got their attention, and ask them for the sale. So before I get to some ideas, here's some research you can do. If you absolutely have to do research, look at LinkedIn and Facebook. If it's a really older sale, check your tax office records to make sure that they're still that they still own the house. Where to go? Second is reread your database notes. I'll tell you, this is one of the biggest mistakes I've made. We changed the Wise agent, and they store notes a little differently, and I'm making calls or sending texts, and I'm finding that if I don't check the notes beforehand, I'm not being as personal or as wonderful as I could be. Be personal. Use their names a lot. Send valuable content, something that may be of interest. Invite them to a clients-only webinar. Hey, I was just calling all my past clients who bought from us in the last 3 to 5 years, and I'm inviting them to a webinar on how to get rid of their private mortgage insurance. It's going to be, you know, Tuesday at 6 p.m., and I'll have a recording if you can't make it. How many of you think you might have some past clients that would like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How, you know, and I'll give you some other ideas that you could do for webinars in just a minute. Ask them this question. How's it going? What's changed for you? I work with a group of great adults on, you know, in Boy Scouts, and we went to the Bahamas. We took the boys to the Bahamas. The three other dads or adult dads that went along with us, two of them had lost their jobs and gotten new jobs, and I didn't even know it. And these are gentlemen I see virtually 2 to 3 times a month that I like and respect. And as soon as I asked them what changed, boy, we got into a great conversation. Okay? Discuss, then you have permission to discuss what's changed with you or your company. What are new features you're offering? What new prices have gone on in the neighborhood? What discounts or offers might you make to them? What legal updates have come on? We have a number of property management clients, and every year they change the forms or they change the laws. How many of you in your boards do the forms change at least once a year? And do you discuss with your clients what that means? And then area updates. You know, we work in an area, basically Woodstock, Georgia, that's growing by leaps and bounds. New restaurants are opening. Old restaurants are closing. Buildings are getting torn down. All sorts of things are happening. Stay on top of that and share it. Okay. Remember to ask for their business and their referrals. Don't get on the whole call. Say, hey, what's changed with you? Here's what's changed with me. Thanks for chatting. You lose their respect as a business professional. So here's some ideas you might try. Is it time to invest in an investment property? By the way, for those of you in expensive areas, I just saw over the weekend, some nice brand new houses at $240,000 with property taxes of like $90 a month. They're brand new and they rent for $1,700 a month. 25% down would be, $67,500. You get a positive cash flow. Just a blatant plug. You have clients looking for an investment, send them to us. We'll get them a good investment. Is it time to help an adult child buy their first home? Is it time to consider refinancing? Is it time to consider eliminating the private mortgage insurance? Now, each one of these could be a great webinar also. And you have these webinars and you record them and you post them, on your blogs or on your websites, and you keep them so you can send them to your other clients in the future. Imagine if you did a webinar every week for a year or two and you had 50 or 100 different video recorded, really helpful things for your past clients. Is it time to trade up? How many of you have a really neat trade up property that you could send to all your clients that they might want to look? Something closer to the water or something with a pool or something with a finished basement. How about trade down? Now in our market, there's not many nice trade down properties, but there are some occasionally. How about, is it time to do a 1031 exchange with one of your other investment properties, or is it time to remodel? And if you think about this, the natural extension is, how many of you have a lender that would help you do some of these? How many of you have a contractor that would help you do some of these webinars that might get some reconnection? How many of you have, the investment properties that you could share? Just some ideas for staying in touch. And my last slide, just so you know, here are some other ideas to find your old leads, old database leads. Man, when we transferred over the database, there was a whole bunch of people that we had just made a mistake on. We didn't put a next contact person. And the first month I contacted people that we hadn't contacted in a while because our database system, we had a screw up. How about old expireds? Expireds that had expired 6 months or a year ago or 2 years ago. Most of them have had markets that have increased. Send them a text, send them an email. Here's a quick CMA that shows the value has risen to what you were thinking about. Is it time to reconsider? Same thing with old for sale by owners. How about your old open house attendees? By the way, Donna loves do it, move it, or delete it. So you may have, she would never say throw away your open house sign-in sheet. That goes to the three-ring binder somewhere. You can always call those people, or better yet, in your database.
There you go.
What, Donna?
I said, there you go. Better yet, they go in your database with a follow-up date. You don't need a three-ring binder.
Hey, I know who I'm talking with. Ex-agent leads. How about an agent that's left your company? How many of you could go to your managers and say, hey, who's left? What past clients are orphaned? I'd like to generate some business. How about buying someone else's book of business and contacting their old leads? Donna Stott has a couple of clients that have done this to great profitability. Okay. How about surveys and contests? You can just start sending these people emails or newsletters and have something that would get them involved. Identify this photo. Here's some trivia on the area. Here's a randomly, somebody's going to win a $25 gift certificate to Starbucks. Okay. I think we're going to have a whole nother call probably on send out cards. What if you sent all of them a send out card with a brownie? What would that cost, Donna? Like $2, $3 a person?
Depends on the account that you have with send out cards, but it's not much.
It's not much. What if you picked 100 people that you should have stayed in touch with that you didn't, and you spent $300 and sent them all a send out card saying, I goofed. I should have stayed in better touch. Have a brownie on me. make sure they're not diabetic before they send it out. Okay. What else? What are some other ideas that any of you might have? Anybody else have a way to stay in touch with old leads that you're excited to share with us? I see Jenna.
You did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I thought about it. So, you know, we love this. We want you all to be successful. We want you to do things that other agents don't do. Put this into practice, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, all.